Good morning, and most welcome to our Green Day, and most welcome to all of you watching online. My name is Sonia. I'm from Brahmakumaris in Copenhagen, Denmark, and I've had the fortune to arrange these Green Days now in Gyan Sarovar for maybe 10 years, I think. And with me today, I have the fortune of having two very special panelists. Sister Gentis, who needs no introduction. She's our additional administrative head of Brahmakumaris. And I also know she's an environmentalist and an activist at heart. And we have Brother Golo, who is living here in Gyan Sarovar. You all know him. Advisor on renewable energy and initiator to All Our Solar through the many years. So most welcome to all of you. In these Green Days, we have had quite a few interviews about the world in transition, why we are doing all the environmental service in our environment initiative, why we participate in the climate change conferences. We have talked about creating sanskaras for the golden age. We have talked about our contribution to the climate change. Our environment initiative actually have twofold purpose. One is to green our own institution, and we have many workshops and templates for retreats and interview templates on our website. And the other purpose for our initiative is to participate in these conferences. But today, I like the focus to be on Golden Age. Golden Age is going to come very soon, I hope. And we all hope that. And my wish with today and this program is that the more detailed and the clearer our vision for Golden Age is, the more likely we are to make effort for it to come. And just before reaching here, I got an SMS from Sister Matilda, and she reminded me that 3 days ago in the Murli, Baba said a few very beautiful sentences on Golden Age. So I read them to you slowly and just absorb the feeling of Golden Age from the Baba's Murli. There will be trees in Golden Age too. Yes, there won't be jungles there, but there will be gardens. There will be forests for useful things too. Wood, etc., will be needed. Many animals and birds live in the forests. However, everything there will be very good and fruitful. Birds and animals will also be the beauty there. There won't be anything there that makes things dirty. I'm a little bit curious. How many of you have had deep insights or meditation experiences of Golden Age? Can you put a hand up? One person?
No. Three.
Three.
Four.
Okay,
six.
Translation takes time.
Translation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, maybe 1/4. How many of you meditate on Golden Age? Like create scenes of Golden Age in your meditation? Okay. Quite a few. Yeah. Beautiful. So, when we participate in our climate change conferences, we have had the fortune of having Sister Gentis with us and Brother Golo with us for now 15 years. And the next climate change conference will be in Dubai in the end of November, in 3 weeks' time actually. And both of them will be there. So as an introduction, first, Golo, maybe you like to tell our group here what contribution you see Sister Jenti making at the climate change conferences, and what difference does her presence make?
Yeah, Om Shanti. These climate conferences are a huge circus, you can say. About 40,000 delegates are coming together, and presidents, prime ministers, sometimes 20, 30, 50 head of states, 2,000-3,000 people from the press, activists, scientists, and everybody has his agenda to save planet Earth and to protect planet Earth. And we from Brahma Kumaris, headed by our head of delegation, Sister Jenti, we're probably the only organization who know that it will be not possible to save and protect this planet, but there will be a big transformation. So we can bring in the spiritual perspective, which is a bit shocking and a bit scary to the delegates, and we have to be diplomatic. And Sister Jenti is a jewel of being diplomatic. With very soft and soothing voice, she's explaining that there will be just a little destruction and a transformation. We may have to leave the bodies, but don't worry, everything will be fine. So she's bringing in the very much needed spiritual dimension in a very profound and powerful manner. She's very shiny and very powerful, and Baba's close instrument. So she brings in the strength and the power and the shine and the spiritual aura, I would say, to leave a mark amongst all these power players. Imagine their ministers, their head of delegations, their head of research institutes, their activists, many of them quite well known, their youngsters like Greta Thunberg, and you know, so many famous people, and to leave a mark there and keep your ground from the spiritual side or from the spiritual viewpoint is quite a challenge. And I would say Sister Jenti is ideally trained by being so long with Dadi Janki, has a illustrious career in Brahma Kumaris, and she can keep her stand in any discussion, in any meeting, or in any interview. And it's beautiful to watch. I remember one time we were in Rio, and that was the Rio Plus 20 conference. It's not the UN conference, but it was an environmental conference. And Nick Clegg, the joint deputy prime minister of UK, he came towards us in the corridor, and we went this way. And normally, you know, as per protocol, you just cannot go to the deputy prime minister and say hello, you know, because it's not the protocol, you know. And Sister Jenti just went to him and said, "Oh, so nice, I always wanted to meet you." And he said, "Really?" And she said, "Yes." I could not have done that. Sister Jenti can do it, you know. So it's very beautiful to be part since 15 years of this drama, see many beautiful service scenes, and I'm fortunate and I learned a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. And now it's Sister Jenti's turn to introduce Golo and maybe share with the group which difference his presence makes at the conference and his contribution.
Golo and I came together with Sonia in the first conference that we attended as observers, which was in 2009 in Copenhagen. Mm. And I've seen Golo develop his yogic style more and more and more, and it's been very beautiful to observe that. that there are two other things that Golo has that have left a huge impact in any session. And firstly, there's hands-on experience of solar technology, because you may or may not know, but since the 80s, we've been using solar power for Baba's work in Abu. And he's the person who had the idea, who brought in other people to implement that. And the things that were set up in the 80s are still functioning today. And so that's remarkable. Most times, people set up something and then it falls apart after some years. It doesn't last that long. But Golo's also been maintaining all of these things, maintaining all of this. So there's real hands-on expertise in the whole area of renewable energy. And the second thing is that Golo keeps up to date with all the developments, not just in terms of solar systems, he has all that information, but also actually in terms of what's going on with the world and everything that's connected with climate and environment. He's got all that information in here with all the statistics, so you press a button and he'll tell you 1,000 things about that particular aspect. So it's quite remarkable. And as I said earlier, I've seen Golo grow in terms of his spiritual stature and his yoga power. And so he'll always, always now bring in a lot of the spirituality and yoga side also. So, and the last thing, humor. When things are going a bit rough and things are getting a bit heavy and we have to carry a lot of things, he'll be there to lighten the load and make us smile and laugh and even carry our bags for us sometimes. So it's been very, very lovely to have both working together in this way with the whole team. And the team has gradually grown, and that's also been lovely to watch.
So thank you to both of you. I think we give them a hand for their presence. Thank you. Actually, the first question can be about the present situation before we move on to Golden Age as such. But the nature is being destroyed and is crumbling in front of our eyes. At the same time as all political systems, everything is being turned upside down. And it's being destroyed as we look at it. So seeing the present scenarios, what are your current spiritual efforts at the right at this moment?
I'm very aware of time and how time is really racing. Golo can tell you more about tipping points, but I heard about tipping points about 7 years ago, I think. And the scientists were saying that we're very close to the tipping points, which means that once we've crossed those points, things are irreversible. And we've already crossed several of those tipping points. And if I mention just one thing, the melting of the glaciers. Well, it's not just the glaciers that are melting, but it's actually the south part of the Antarctic that's actually melting. Antarctica is actually dissolving, as you said, in front of our eyes. And so if that's not evidence of the speed with which drama is moving, I don't know what is. So my effort is really to be aware of this and to stay light, to stay up above it. Because we know these things are going to happen, but sometimes we don't realize how it's going to impact us immediately. But the UK storms are an interesting sign of how things are happening all over the world. And UK doesn't normally get natural disasters as such, but the storms that have been coming every single year in the last few years have made life very uncomfortable for many, many people there.
Thank you. So being aware of time makes me stay up above. And Golo?
The news are quite dramatic. And For me, a little bit of a turning point was last year. I like very much every year to drive with a motorcycle for 1 month in the mountains, in the Alps, in Europe. And last year when I drove, I was in the midst of the Alps, and suddenly everything became brown, and all the mountains were brown, and all the valleys were dry. And I stayed in Grenoble, and it was 40 degrees, and Grenoble is in the middle of the mountains. And I was so shocked. And then I read up a little bit that in Switzerland, half of the high alms where they keep the cows, they had to close down because no water and no fodder for the cows. So they had to bring the cows down. And after I saw all that with my own eyes, intellectually I was knowing that the world is ending, but then emotionally I realized it with my heart. I could feel it. So I went back and I sold my motorcycle, and I decided that's it, you know, with motorcycle riding and trying to take any help or power from nature. Nature is now very exhausted, and it is somehow a sign for all of us, because wherever we live and when we look into nature now, we can see it. Australia is a heat wave. Right now in France, there is heavy flooding. Wherever you look, the weather is extreme and it is out of shape. And this is a touching to all of us to understand that we are sort of in the last chapter, also last chapter of the Yajna. And Baba said, time will come when nature, when destruction through nature will come. Where there was drought, there will be flooding. And where there was always enough rain, there will be drought. And somehow we can see this with our eyes. So my effort is now sort of the last barrier to become an angel, to become soul conscious and to transform my physical existence, which is quite a challenge because we have to break body conscious, which is sort of the biggest, the most serious samskar within us. So my effort is to become an angel and fly high and become super detached from what I see with my eyes, because it takes a bit of stamina to see this gradual destruction unfolding in front of our eyes.
Yeah, thank you. So it may is a little bit the same to stay up above and to fly high. So we will try in our meditation to go there and see what's happening there. I read a very old class from London. I took Gyan in London 86, and I was just 3 weeks in Gyan, and there was a Bhatti on Golden Age, and there was I read it this morning. The class is a very old, beautiful class, but it said it all starts with creating Golden Age and go there first. So that's what I'm hearing they are sharing. And now, Sister Jyanti, how can thoughts and concept of Golden Age help us in our environmental work and service?
You read a very beautiful passage about the Golden Age, and that's from Sakar Murli's.
Yeah.
And there's also been a lot that Baba said. In fact, I'm noticing more and more that very many Murlis regularly have some sort of aspect about the Golden Age. Mm-hmm. And one aspect that struck me a little while ago was there'll be no banks in the Golden Age. Mm-hmm. I'd never thought about it. Mm-hmm. Banking. There won't be a banking system. There won't be a need. So Baba actually categorically said that there will be no banks in the Golden Age.
Mm-hmm.
We always understood that in terms of spiritual banking, what I do now is going to be put into the bank. But on a physical level, there won't be any banks. Mm. And today, again, it struck me. We've often heard Baba say, the snake sheds its skin and it grows a new one. But today, Baba categorically said, in winter, the skin dries up and so it falls away. And then the new one comes. So, climate and winter. So I thought, you know, it's a very practical way that Baba's explaining everything to us. Again, I hadn't thought about when does a snake shed its skin, but today's Murli made it very clear. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful for me to see how Baba talks about the detail of the Golden Age in different ways. And so for me to know that nature is going to be beautiful and nature is going to be so abundant and giving in all ways is a very beautiful idea. But it means that today I have to serve nature. Then I know that nature will look after me for at least 4,950 years, which it has. So it's only been this last little while that nature has really become topsy-turvy. And we've been destroying nature, as was said. But for the rest of the cycle, nature is going to look after me very well. But it means that I have to be detached from my skin and be up above so that then I can serve nature. And then this body will also be Satupradhan. And again, that's a very beautiful thought, that with a Satupradhan body, not only is there beauty, but there's also good health. Everything functioning in the way that it should. And so I ask myself, if I didn't have this awareness of the Golden Age, would I be so interested in doing anything for the environment now, especially when it's all bad news, and people out there have things like climate anxiety, and they don't need to have that. Instead, they could just serve nature, and things could turn around so beautifully today, just having love and respect for nature.
So thoughts on nature is a motivating factor for the environmental work we're doing today. Beautiful. Actually, in this old class I read, it said also, I don't know who gave it, it said that the body is like a small planet, and when I serve the body, I'm also indirectly serving the whole planet. And I hear you saying that the one way to serve nature is to be detached from it. Yeah. So, but then how is Golden Age actually created, Golo? I don't know if you can answer that. Nobody maybe can, because in detail, Baba has not revealed all details, but I know you have made your thought a lot about it. So what's your thoughts?
Indeed, a very deep question. Many times Baba said that the clock of transformation is with the children. So that means our stage, our purity has a profound effect in the transformation and the creation, in destruction and in creation. And I was thinking a lot, what does it mean? It means actually that there must be a connection between our mind, our thoughts, and the state of the world, the environment, nature. And interestingly, in quantum physics, there is now a new train of thought, new ideas are coming up, that our mind, our thoughts, all the times are connected to the physical reality. All the time we observe the world as it is, and by our own observation, we shape it. The world is as it is because we look at it in a particular way. And Golden Age is yet not happening, because we still don't want it to happen yet, because we are yet not ready, our level of purity is not yet there, and we still have a bit too much attachment to our body and to this old world. So we keep things as they are. There's a subtle reluctance amongst us also. So Baba says, time is with the children, and by this purification of your mind, we will influence also the physical reality. So I feel that there is a moment, Baba calls it, when there is absolutely pin drop silence at the end. Baba calls it the end, and he says, when there is this pin drop silence, then Golden Age will start. And this, Baba calls it like a film, like a, you know, in the cinema when they play the film on the big wheel. It comes to an end, Then Baba rewinds it to the beginning and restarts it again. So I believe that our mind has this capacity to, is the master of matter and is the master of destruction and creation. And when we all become collectively really 100% detached, pure, and we are visualizing golden age in our mind, beautiful trees, beautiful flowers, beautiful relations, beautiful light bodies, just a world of harmony and perfection. When we firmly visualize that in our mind, we will give this impact, this influence to the physical surrounding, and we will sort of initiate that transition process. Of course, Baba is sort of the music director. We are the orchestra. Baba is the music director. So he gives the speed. The speed and the takt is with Baba. But we are the players. So it is our mind, our thoughts. And we all have to ask ourselves, am I ready? That's the big question we have to ask ourselves. Am I detached from my body, from my world, from my bank account, from my diseases, from my relations, from all my things which I have? Am I free already? And then we can see what we still have to do. And then we also understand that the time of transformation is with us.
Sistianti, are you ready?
On the journey.
Sorry?
On the journey.
On the journey. You like to add anything? Golden Age is creator?
No, it's a very powerful idea. But yes, it is definitely. Baba talks about the power of purity and yoga that helps Baba in creating that world. And for me, it means that if souls are ready, then everything falls into place. Mm. And so we have to be ready.
Mm. Golo, you ready?
No. No. I have to go to, we are going to climate conference. And
in Dubai.
And we are planning for a studio. And so much work has gone in the studio. So I want to see that's happening. And I will interview also Sister Genti. So before the next climate conference, destruction is not it's not good for me right now. And then in summer, I have some repair work in the retreat center in Germany. So that is also still, I have to do that. So before next summer is also not good. So I'm sort of... Yeah. So that's how we actually keep the drama going. By thinking, you know, we all think when you go back from Madhuban, then you have to do this, you have to start with your work, and you need a bit more money, and the car is not good, and the air conditioning in Vietnam is also not running so nicely, I heard. And so we all have these ideas what we have to do and to repair, and this keeps the drama going.
You know, there's a story in Bhakti about it. Narad complained to God Vishnu, they say Vishnu Bhagwan, how come you're not letting everyone come into heaven? And Vishnu says, but whoever wants to come can come. And he says, no, you're not letting them. And so Vishnu says, okay, go down and see who wants to come. And so he goes down and he sees this old woman and he says, you know, he's thinking, she's got nothing else now, she's ready. So he says, would you like to come to heaven? And she says, well, I want to see my grandson get married. And after that, it's okay, I'll be able to come. And he goes to a young person and, well, I have to finish my exams and then I'll come. So everyone he goes to, everybody's got an excuse and a reason. And so they don't want to go to heaven. And so it's a little bit like that. This is where that's, you know, we used to play that game in Peace Park, one seat left in heaven. Yeah. And so it comes from this story.
It's actually a good lead up to next question, Sister Genti, because we are busy in a sense. Daddy told us not to use the word busy, but I know especially your calendar maybe is filled up with constant meetings and activities. all day long, every day of the year. So this sanskara of doing is very strong because service is omnipresent. So maybe more doing than being. So how will we do then? What will you then do in golden age?
It's a question I have, because I think I might get a little bit bored in golden age. Yeah. Because Baba keeps us so happily busy, occupied with 1,000 different things. But no, I think that we'll be enjoying the beauty, enjoying each other's company, dancing and singing. Have you noticed that when you're dancing, half an hour, 2 hours pass away and you don't even notice the time? And if you were working, you say, oh, I've been working for 2 hours. After dancing for 2 hours, you still feel like carrying on. And so I'm sure we'll be very, very happy.
So when did you dance last?
A few days ago. Because wherever I go, they dress you up and they're happy. It makes them happy. So you smile and then they want to dance. And so...
And Golo, you're also very active in the field of solar energy, and you are at the moment here in Gyan Sarovar, you're setting up a new solar system. And what will be your focus for your activity in Golden Age?
Oh, there will be so many things to do. Actually, some years ago we set up a little laboratory and we wanted to find out how the Vimans are flying. So in India, there's some old scriptures about Vimans, you know, and some mysterious ingredients are inside, and apparently we can sort of manipulate gravity. So we did some experiments here, but we didn't actually conclude, and we were not successful really with building Vimans. Maybe it was the wrong time. And so, well, golden age, I can imagine. First of all, I will be very happy and joyful, you know, like, no, you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. You're more in a flow of natural doing things, and everybody will follow his beautiful interests. Some will do music, some will dance, and some will just sit there and watch, and others will put out their hands and the birds will come and you talk to the birds and all these kind of nice things. And I will have a fabulous workshop, fabulously equipped with golden age magic tools, and with a group of dedicated BK scientists, we will work on Vimans for local flights, Vimans for subterrestrial flights in outer space, because I believe in golden age we fly to other planets. And so we'll have good fun. Yeah. Then we will work on pyramids and vibration generators and very strange, interesting things, you know, to make our life comfortable. So I think for the innovative mind, there will be enough to be done. But it will be more being with the flow, being with the heart, and doing just nice things, you know.
Mm. Sister Dianti, you used to go in trance before. Maybe you do nowadays also a little bit, I actually don't know. But I'm sure you have had many trance experiences on Golden Age. And what would you like to share with us? Is there anything in relationship to nature that sticks out for you? Or what do you think would be useful of all your experiences to share with us in this context?
When I was little, I used to see visions of Krishna and the beauty of the gardens and the way Krishna played with all the animals, and no fear, no concern, and the parents not afraid either. Today, parents get scared when children are playing and the children get scared, but there, no fear at all. And so whether it's the playing with the animals or playing with each other, sometimes you see that still, and I watch children at airports a lot. You're waiting around for an hour, 2 hours, and sometimes you see the children very innocently playing with each other, And it really brings me great joy. And so I see how in the golden age, everything will be play. And so the beauty of playing, and even adults, not just children playing, but people playing, adults playing. And so I think that that joy of give and take and exchanges, and the beauty, that is what stays in my mind.
Hmm. How will our relationship to nature be?
Of mutual respect. Hmm. So nature will be giving, but we'll also be very grateful and appreciative of nature. We won't take anything for granted that, yes, that's what they should be doing. But you'll appreciate the flowers, the fruits, everything that nature is offering. So it's a very lovely idea to think of a world of respect and love, where there's a give and take and exchange of love on all levels, including especially with nature.
You will talk to birds like Golo will do?
I'll play with them. I'm not sure that we're into talking so much.
I'm still talking to birds.
You're still talking to birds.
And any animal, when I go to solar house, there's squirrels, birds, any animal, even monkeys are there. So I talk to them, you know, I call them, and sometimes they respond, sometimes they're a bit scared. Quite often they come a bit closer also.
Actually, as I shared taxi with Brother David from Australia, and a musician who lives in Australia, not our David, and he says he thinks even flowers will have a kind of sound and communication in golden age. So interesting. When I hear Sister Jensi speak about the children playing, I remember when you visited Denmark now many, many years ago, and we went down to the ocean close to Aarhus, and there was a children's playground there, and Sister Jensi, you said the most beautiful sound in the confluence age is when children are laughing. You want to add?
I feel also in golden age we have a sort of heightened sense of awareness.
Yeah.
Everything will be more bright, and colors will be more bright. Colors will talk to us. Colors may emit a sound, and we have such a heightened awareness that on a level of vibration, we see how everything is interconnected, and we see the energy matrix behind the physical reality. We see the aura of each and everything, and how the aura influences each and everything, and how everything is interconnected. This is why nature also will serve us in golden age, because we see how everything is connected to everything else. And this will give us a very beautiful feeling of being connected,
yeah,
with each and everything in a very heightened sense.
Yeah. Sister Andrew, you talked about no fear. So I thought we'll stop and take a short traffic control. And I like to invite all of you to imagine yourself how it would be to be you with no fear. We'll just stop for a short traffic control and imagine you are the same self, but there is absolutely no fear, no anxiety, no worry, and no tension. How is it to be you with no fear and no worry at all? You can take it all back in a few minutes. This is like an exercise. Okay. Om Shanti. How is it, Sister Jyanti, to be you with no fear or worry or no burden? What's the feeling?
Just radiant, radiant light being shared all around, and the soul really experiencing total freedom.
Total freedom. Mm. And Golo?
Happiness, joy.
Golo, you talked a lot about meditation and yoga and trying to become an angel. And I know you enjoy your evening meditation and history hall very much. In these evening meditations, do you have any insights on golden age or any experiences related to golden age?
Well, I'm not a trance messenger. And I'm in meditation, I'm quite often sitting there in semi-light, and I'm knocking to the door of subtle region, and I tell to Bab Dada, please open the gates to subtle region, please open the gates to subtle region. But yet not, for, at least for me, they're not really opening that much, but I get sometimes like inspirations and feelings, and sometimes I see light also. So in meditation, I often connect to golden age and to my stage there, and what I do is I send an arrow to golden age, and connected to the arrow is a string, and then I'm starting pulling the string and bring golden age close. It's like a little crutch, you know, a mental sort of yukti to bring golden age into the presence, and then everything gets very beautiful. I imagine also what I'm doing in golden age and my stage, and suddenly all worries what I have to do, or all the burdens of this body disappears. Everything becomes very gentle, very joyful, very happy, very light also. And then, of course, I'm trying to stabilize in that feeling for as long as possible. Sometimes I can keep it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Then old sanskars kick in, and I think, okay, after meditation tomorrow I have to do this and that and this project. And then my thoughts wander off, connection to golden age is also lost, and then I have to send a new arrow, you know, after some time, get bring golden age close. So it's a bit like that. That's a bit my experience, but I connect to golden age, and I connect to my perfect stage at the end, and that actually helps me. It's a very powerful mental yukti, and I use in meditation a variety of concepts or ideas, and try to bring that concept into a practical experience to become the embodiment of that particular idea. And I found that is very helpful, because our thoughts are like a key with whom you can open the treasure of experience, the treasure box of experience.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. Sister Jyanti, you meditate on golden age?
It comes. I don't consciously ask for it. Mm. But sometimes it's like maybe I've read a Murali in which Baba's spoken a lot about the golden age. Mm. And it's like the soul is actually then emerging its own sattva pradhan sanskars. Mm. Because I know that I've been there, and so I have those sanskars. Mm. And so when Baba's talked about the golden age, then it's as if with Baba, then my own sattva pradhan sanskars come alive, and I can feel them, and I can feel how light everything is.
So golden, yeah?
I'm seeing that Golo has an engineering mind, and so Viman's a part of that engineering sanskar, shooting arrows is again part of that.
So you talking about golden age sanskaras, and before you said that celebration and enjoying each other's company is a golden age sanskara. So how do we start that sanskara of celebration now in confluence age? How much time is there to celebrate?
Stay in Bharat. And it's non-stop celebration.
It's a non-stop celebration.
It's always something to celebrate, really. Whether it's a scooter, and you put a sticker on a scooter and everybody has fun, and you break a coconut, you break the lemons, and you share tollies. And I used to be surprised that, you know, when you, like Sukhdham, when they inaugurated Sukhdham, then it wasn't just cutting one ribbon and breaking coconuts there, but then every major room you entered, everything was another celebration, another cutting of the ribbon. And so Bharat is very excellent in teaching you how to celebrate everything.
Yeah.
And so there's a bread machine, and you put a sticker on it and you celebrate. So Sangam Yoga, especially in Bharat, is non-stop celebrations.
We can actually bring some of that to the West, can't we? Definitely.
Yeah. But I think that in every center abroad also, I think birthdays become a time of celebration.
Mm.
And I know Baba says, celebrate your alaukik birthday, but for many of us, it's difficult to know the exact date.
Mm.
Like, I know the time, but I don't know the exact date.
Mm.
And so it's okay also to celebrate birthdays.
So any excuse for celebration, grab it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Diwali, and yes, I know Didi has passed away, and so everything is very muted in Gyan Sarovar. But I think that, and Shantivan also is going to be really just simple offering of pork rather than a big celebration. But some of you would have seen the big celebrations they used to have in Gyan Sarovar. Who remembers the time of elephants coming to greet the Dadis? Now, that was physically a big celebration.
I even remember the name was Mohini, the name of the elephant.
He liked bananas.
So if you want to learn to celebrate, stay in Bharat a little while.
talking about creating sanskaras for Golden Age, what other efforts are you doing which are directly related to a Golden Age lifestyle? I know for myself, for example, I'm thinking about the language. So when I talk to myself in my head, I try to remove all these words I have to or I should. So I don't have to get up this time in the morning. I am getting up. I'm trying to remove all these should and have to, because I don't think there will be in Golden Age. So to both of you, any focus or attention you have on Golden Age sanskaras?
Two things. Being in the present. So whatever is past, it's gone. Whatever is in the future, let it be. But what am I doing now? Am I in the present? And yes, in Sangam Yoga, we're very aware of the past, present and future. But I don't want the past to intrude in how I'm thinking today. I learned the lessons from the past, but I don't want it to impact me. But also the future, I don't have to think about the future, because what I'm doing today is creating the future. So one of the big aspects you spoke about, being in the flow, and I would say being in the present. And so same thing. But very much I'm aware that if I'm present, then everything is going to work out in the right way. If I'm a few steps behind, stuck in the past, then things are not going to work out smoothly now. So that's very much a sanskara of Golden Age that I enjoy very much. And the second thing is just making sure that within relationships, there is that respect that I know that the deities will have for each other. One of the things I remember is Mama telling people who would come and complain about this one and this one, do you remember these are the deities who you used to worship in bhakti? So not so much the sort of bhakti, but these are those deity souls with whom I'll be spending the whole cycle. And so to see each one with that respect and that their speciality.
So being in the moment and respecting relationship. Effort to stay in the moment and to keep golden aged relationships. And Golo, your efforts related to a lifestyle in golden age or focus?
Well, at present I'm trying not to react or being reactive to situations. Usually somebody comes and says something and I'm reacting in a particular way, mostly. Or often I think, oh, why is he saying this, or why is he doing like that, or why is he done like this and that and this and that. And I'm reacting towards that, and I'm then creating a whole train of thoughts, why this, that. And so I'm trying to be more an observer and see things, how they happen in front of me, because living here in the headquarter of the Brahma Kumaris, I can tell you, you see a lot of things, a lot of people come, a lot of interaction is there, and many, many chances to react. And so I'm trying to become more like a detached, loving observer. And another effort I'm doing right now is that I'm trying to see people in their perfect form. Quite often we see another person and we judge people and put them in categories or in cupboards. And we think, oh, this person is one of my special friends. He's very good, very good. And this one is a bad, bad person. He's very nasty. And 20 years ago, he has said this and this to me. And I never forgotten that, you know. So we put people in certain categories. And whenever we see them, we confirm that category in a subtle way. And by that, we actually keep the person as that person is 20 years ago. We do not allow him to change. we say, this person is like this and this, and so we actually give him a curse, not a blessing. So I'm trying to bless people by, let's say, the ultimate aim is to see everybody as a shiny soul. Shiny, positive, full of light in his golden age form. And I remember one time, Bab Dada came in Shantivan, and he said, it's such a beautiful view, all these shiny stars. And I thought, oh my God, Bab Dada is seeing only stars, sort of floating around in the universe, you know. He doesn't see maybe the bodies and all that. He sees the stars, you know, what a beautiful vision. And when I have this vision constantly, I give blessings to all the people whom I meet, and they can feel it, and then that blessing comes back to me. It helps me also to change. So that's a bit right now. Occasionally I'm doing this effort.
Thank you to both of you for sharing your personal effort. Baba says in Moli is that before entering a forest, you see the treetops beforehand. And he uses this as an example that before we come to Golden Age, we will see signs of Golden Age already in Confluence Age. We will see the treetops. I sometimes, when I have drishti with other BKs, I have a feeling this is how we will look at each other in Golden Age. Very beautiful, pure drishti. And I think that's the treetop I see at the moment from time to time, is this beautiful drishti exchange. But what treetops do you see?
I'm seeing how COVID did many things, some things not so good.
Closer instead of further away. Yeah.
It sounds as if it's echoing. So.
Okay.
That is because we don't have a feedback speaker.
Okay.
We have no monitors.
Okay. So I'm seeing how through COVID times, the whole family came much, much closer. Not just in one country, but it was like in one moment you were connected with Australia, another moment you were connected with India, then you were connected with America. And so to me it was a sign of Bharat family and the rest of the world coming together in a very natural way and getting to know each other. Because usually you only see each other for 2 hours when you're in Shantivan there. But through Zoom, I discovered that so many people were connecting with so many different people abroad, and they were making friends with them. Mm. And so to me, it was an indication that the Golden Age is coming closer. The unity of the family is growing very, very beautifully. And the other thing is that I'm seeing that science is actually doing two things. On the one level, they're beginning to understand about consciousness. And like you mentioned, Gola, that, you know, the origin is not matter. The origin is consciousness. And so scientists are gradually coming to that awareness. And so it's like Baba's truth is going to be revealed absolutely. Mm. And so on that level, consciousness, but also on another level, I know at least 4 people, a couple in India and a couple in London, who have been working on, they want to create the Vimans of the future, but what is aeronautics, that's the word. Their study has been in aeronautics. And so these young people, they're in their early 20s, they've got degrees in aeronautics, and so they're very sure that they're going to be the builders of the Vimans. So, so I'm sure that that's going to happen. And but also you see how through science, I won't mention country names or the company, but there are companies in the world now, in Europe in particular, 2 companies that I know of, who were actually very close to creating the Vimans. Mm. And so your thoughts can reach the sensor and it go where you want it to go and things like this. So to me, these are signs of the Golden Age appearing very, very soon. And another thing I've noticed in Bharat especially, not so much abroad, in Oxford, yes, but I haven't seen other places, but you see how beautiful the golden age is going to be. Today Baba said you don't even get 3 feet of land, but actually many places in Bharat now are being given land by people, giving land by the government, and they've really created very beautiful places for Brahmins. And so it's such a contrast to, like, when I first started living in centres in India, the kitchen's here and it's just a tin roof over the you know, whatever they've done, but on the terrace. And then at the far end of the terrace, there's another tin shed, and that's your toilet and bathroom. Now, that's where I used to stay, in Bharat, in the centres. And today, everywhere in Bharat, there's such beautiful centres, really, really lovely. There's one particular centre that I don't mind publicising. It's in Raipur, and it's still under construction. But you look at it, and it's pink stone. They've especially bought the pink stone from Jodhpur to Raipur. And it's right opposite the secretariat. And it looks like a palace. And you go inside, and everything's been so tastefully done. We must be very close to the golden age.
So the treetops of closeness in the family, technology, and the beauty of land and buildings. Golo, what treetops do you see?
Yeah, I'm doing a bit service in India time to time. I was recently in Jaipur, and the sisters organized three university programs in one day. I mean, full-fledged program, not little programs, like full talks. And each time 1 hour driving from one place to the other. So you can imagine I was either talking or sitting in the car. And it was so interesting because when I started talking and I spoke a bit about environment and climate change is very tough situation and India will be very much affected. They all became a bit sad and heavy. And then I said, but we have to stay optimistic and you can do so many beautiful things, plant trees, do renewable energy. And I showed some example what Brahma Kumaris is doing. And then I said at the end, I came to this more spiritual part of it. And then I shared a bit that India has this legacy of waking up and with the help of the mind and spirituality, you can sort of bring a change into your personal life, but also into the world. And India has this fantastic philosophy of Kali Yuga, and the new Sat Yuga will come. And slowly their eyes lighten up. And I said, and this is India's speciality. That's how you can help the world by giving this message. And India is the old mother of the whole world, and they all, yeah, India is the mother, and yoo-hoo, India can help. And when I left, they all came to me and said, oh, Mr., I became Dr. Golo. I was introduced as Dr. Golo, and then so I became a doctor. And they said, you have to come again, you have to come again. And I could feel they're so ready to get inspiration and do something, especially the youngsters. So that's one sign that in the field of service, it's different now in India. When I say I'm from the Brahma Kumaris, I was, since many years, we're trying to get into Technical Energy Research Institute, TERI, which is in Delhi. It's one of the most famous government research institutes. They advise to the government and they do every year World Sustainable Development Summit, which is very famous, you know. Prime ministers are coming and Nobel laureates are talking. It's the flagship event in Delhi. And Modi comes and they're trying to invite also the president. It's on that level. I said, then I met to the director general. She's a lady. And I said, we're doing this studio. She's a big shot. We're doing this climate change studio, live event in the climate conference. It's called Care, Share and Inspire, and we would be very glad if you become if we can interview there. And she said, Brahma Kumaris, I would be honored to speak at your venue. I said, wow, she would be honored at the Technical Research Institute, which normally is a little bit keeps a bit, you know, science still keeps a bit separate from the spiritual traditions because of old friction, you know. And then I said, yeah, you have this World Development Summit, and I can ask one of our top speakers, motivational top speakers, if you have a suitable slot, maybe we can, I can bring them in. And now Sister Shivani, she will speak at the opening, and she has the keynote speech, you know. Imagine at a technical research institute, our top spiritual motivational speaker gets the keynote speech, you know, in front of all these professors and directors and dignitaries. And I thought, and they were so happy that they get Shivani, you know. And I saw there's some emails and this and that. And then she had time and she agreed, and now everything is done. And I felt, wow, time is in now. We get the wind from behind. I'm doing service in India literally since 40 years, and I had many experience also in Haridwar, Kumbh Mela, with the sannyasins, that they were reluctant, and it was not easy. Now we have the wind from behind. We have favorable wind, as the sailor is saying. Everything goes smoothly for us. This is also, for me, seeing the treetops. And another experience is in meditation. I just go and start meditation, cling, and voila, there is the vibration, there's the light, there's the atmosphere. It goes very easy now. This is also seeing a treetop of Satyuga, that things are very close.
Thank you for sharing beautiful treetops. Another one.
It's in terms of thinking about the level of service, you have a president who's a VK. Now, who could have imagined that that was going to happen? Baba told us that Rashtrapati Bhavan, the president's home, is going to become like your second home. And it's actually happening in front of our eyes. Mm-hmm. It's happened. Mm-hmm. And it's not as powerful as that, but yesterday, Jemini Ben was at the Prime Minister's office for Diwali. Now, anyway, a man of Indian origin being the Prime Minister of Britain is like 180 degrees turnaround from being a country governed by Britain to having an Indian in office. So it really is 180 degrees turnaround. But the other thing is that out of a group of about a few hundred people, eight people were asked to come separately into his dining room, apparently. And there the Prime Minister and his wife met them privately. Mm-hmm. And Jemini was part of that. Mm-hmm. So the name Brahma Kumaris has reached the Prime Minister's office in a big way. Mm-hmm. So everywhere across the world you get signs of service coming to its conclusion, mm-hmm. which is also then part of the treetops of Satyuga. Mm-hmm.
Service coming to its conclusion. Treetops. I've asked many BKs preparing for this interview. I have asked many BKs if they have questions about Golden Age or what questions I shall put to these two souls. And I've had very little response. Sharuna gave beautiful questions to me, which I'm thankful for. But many here, also around the world, didn't have many questions about Golden Age. And I was thinking, is that for everybody like that? And do you have any questions left about Golden Age which you would like to know or you don't have the answer to?
Not so much about the Golden Age, but the transition.
The transition.
Yeah, it's still not exactly clear to me how suddenly everybody goes home. That's okay, I understand the technical details. But what's happening down below in Bharat when souls are going up home? Mm-hmm. How is there the cleanup, and how is there then the entry of the royal family and Satyuga? So it's not clear. But it's okay. It's not a problem for me. And I have the sense that as time goes on, it may become clear.
Yeah.
But certainly that's an area that I'm not very clear about.
Mm. Golo, any questions unanswered?
That was actually my question.
Yeah.
Because I've asked this gentleman several times. I actually interviewed all the seniors how that transition process is going to take place. And I remember one time I was in Manesa and had dinner with Gopal Bhai and Dadi Gulzar. And then I asked Gopal Bhai, can I ask Dadi Gulzar some questions? And he said, yeah, ask. I said, Dadi, golden age is coming, so how is it going to happen? And then Dadi said, yeah, you see, it will gradually become worse and worse and then even more worse. And I said, and then? She said, then more worse. And I said, and then? She said, and then golden age will come. I said, oh, golden age will come. I said, how it will come? And she said, bloop, it will be there. And I said, okay. So I asked so many seniors, then I asked Dadi Janki. I asked Dadi Janki, how is that detail, the technicalities, and how is the mechanism of creation of golden age? And she said to me, don't go in these details. So, as Jenti Ben said, there are still some sort of spots here and there which could be enlightened how things are going to happen in detail. And I think very crucial is the role of our mind, and we're really underestimating how powerful we are. And that this world, what we see with our eyes, is actually our permanent creation. You know, we're all the time creating this physical reality by looking at it. And I think when once we change the way how we look at it, everything will fall into place. But of course, this is an intellectual concept. I'm working on it to experience that, to become the embodiment, which is a different story altogether.
One of the brothers in London asked Dadi Gulzar, in the days when it was a very tiny family, so you could ask Dadi Gulzar many things, and he asked her about the golden age and how long would it take for the golden age to come from the time that we go home. And she said, it'll happen in a flash. It'll just happen like this. So Gola's comment reminded me of that. And there's actually a book he's written called Flash Time. And it's from this statement that Dadi Gulzar made to him. It'll happen in a flash. And so it seems that that idea is very firm in Dadi Gulzar's mind. And so I've heard it now from two sources. And what it's saying to me, because I thought a little bit about this flash time answer, and really what it's saying to me is that, yes, going home is the pain and it's worse and worse and worse, but going home will be fast, and then coming down will be very fast also. And we can't imagine it today, but everything can speed up in a very intense way. And so where we think that the cleanup of the earth is going to take a long time, maybe it's not. Maybe literally it'll just be that moment souls go and everything changes. We can't imagine it because we're used to thinking in terms of the limitations of the physical world. But Baba, how long does it take Baba to go to Paramdham and come down again? In a flash. And so I think that's a key, why Baba doesn't get into the detail of how it's going to come, because it's beyond our capacity at the moment to imagine it, but it'll happen in a flash.
So it's interesting, you both have the same questions left. I actually have myself a question about golden age, and I know time is moving, but we're making all our efforts now to remember Baba, and Baba says the final exam will be how much you can remember Baba, right, in a second. But on the other hand, all our efforts is also to make Baba redundant, because in golden age we will not make remember Baba. And I wonder if we to some extent will have a kind of divine presence in the back of our mind in golden age, even though Baba is not there. He says very clearly, I'm not coming. And it's called a religion, the golden age is like the religion, right? So is there a kind of remain of a divinity in the back of our mind, or is it totally gone? Or
just that feeling of being protected and everything happening under a canopy of protection without actually thinking about, well, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. Or who is giving us mm-hmm. this? Mm-hmm. But I think that feeling of safety and security is like a child. Mm-hmm. You know everything's fine. And you don't have to think about, well, does my father have his insurance? Does, you know, is the house still on mortgage? You don't have to think about those practicalities. It's somebody's taking care of them. And you just live life with happiness and love. And so I think it's that childhood innocence of the golden age.
So thank you to both of you. We're coming towards the end of the actual interview. Golo, you have a final comment, anything you want to say? Sister Gentis?
Just emerge the sanskaras and the feelings of Sattva Pradhan, and we will bring the golden age here quickly.
And I think we will ask Sister Gentis to guide 5 minutes meditation on golden age with us. But before we move on, I'd like to give them a deep felt hand applaud for their contribution. So thank you very much. And looking forward to spend time with all of you in golden age.
Thank you, Sonia, for organizing
yes.
the format and coming up with all the interesting questions. Yeah.
So next,
and all the research you did, communicating with everyone.
And I hope you can see that Sister Sonia is wearing a green T-shirt. And it's because she's the secretary of our environment initiative.
Yeah.
So she wants to make that connection.
And this afternoon we have 2 workshops. And Golo will have a workshop on meditation experiments to heal the world. And I will do a magical outdoor walk at 5:00, as you see on the program. And in the evening, we have an outdoor meditation under the stars.
Music concert.
Yeah, musical. David will play golden aged sounds and music for us for our outdoor a peace concert tonight in Daddy Dianki Park, 6:30.
And how many will come, you can ask? Many can come for the walk, how many for the...
Yeah, how many are interested in the workshop, 5:00, meditation
workshop.
Experiments with Brother Golo? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very good. And I have some leaflets here at the front if anyone is interested to read more about the environment work. You can pick them up here. And we talked about the climate change conference in Dubai, and actually we will send live from Dubai every evening, and the roles will change. Golo will do the interview at that time with Sister Genti and 2 invited guests. So that will come to you on the different medias and mails, the links. So we've done reports for many years, and they will continue to come, I think. But we will also have live stream from next climate change conference. So most welcome to follow us there.
In fact, very good news again from Dubai. Maureen was representing the Brahma Kumaris at a religious leaders gathering that was held before the conference. And so it was attended by, she was asked to be a speaker in the opening plenary. And then further down, she also had time for interjections about solar energy, yogic farming and other things. And then the moderator picked up on some of those things and repeated what she had said. And then she also met with the person who's the president of the conference this year. He's also a sultan, and so he heads up the petroleum company, which is an interesting combination. He's resigned from it temporarily, but he'll go back to it, I'm sure. But she had a meeting with him also. So, and the UN Secretary General was there at the opening plenary. So again, he would have heard and seen Brahma Kumari. So,
I heard that King Charles will come and will give a speech, and I heard also the Pope may come to the conference and will come to the fifth pavilion. So all the leaders are coming because the whole world is concerned about the state of the planet, you know, and things get more complicated also because of the wars going on. So everybody's looking towards this conference for some solution. So we are quite excited to be there in the middle of the storm.
Yes. And so we'll have a meditation for 5 minutes. We go to Golden Age together with Sister Jenti. And after, please stay for Toli and blessings from our speakers. Om Shanti. Those who... They will miss their Toli then. Yeah. So how many are staying in Pandabhavan?
I saw them leave, most of them.
Oh, okay, they left. The bus is leaving in 1 minute. Yeah, it's okay. Thank you, Sona.
As I remember Baba, the shining light carries me home. When I find myself in this home of light, the sweet home of silence, from my home, I come down onto this planet and I take on a costume of light. And I live in the palace of my mother's womb, surrounded by light, sustained with love. And I'm born as a child, an infant, cared for with grace, with dignity, surrounded by love. And as I grow, I play with my friends, and there's laughter, there's joy, and there's beauty. We play with each other. We play with the water. We put our hands into the water. And as the water ripples over our fingers, there's this amazing scent, this fragrance of flowers and leaves and herbs. And then we play with the animals. I chase the deer, and then the deer starts chasing me, and we laugh. And as I grow older, I learn to read and write. But it's fun. It's a game. And we dance and we sing. The world is a playground. and we enjoy playing there. When I'm with my parents, there's respect, not only from myself to them, but they also treat me with deep respect, not controlling, not possessive, but just simply sustenance of the highest order. And I learn by watching them how they speak together, how they understand each other. And yes, there are comforts, there is beauty, everything is available. But the love and respect are the most important ingredients. The respect comes from total purity, so I maintain my own dignity and respect, and with that purity, I can see each one with respect also. Life flows with its natural rhythm, and everything is just as it should be. Om Shanti.